center?
Layer.
Yeah.
Be prepared for everything.
A reminder before the meeting starts if it gets.
Morning.
Morning.
And with the serenity prayer. I cannot change.
First, to change the things I can.
Wisdom to know the difference. Cambridge area. And we are the co-leaders for this meeting. We'll have up to 20 minutes when this time available. It is being recorded, so it is first. We all have our own path to follow. Losing food, didn't know I was 100 pounds, back to 300. And about 18 years ago, he looked at me and said, I would be ecstatic to re-sponsor you. And he said, I have one big question for you. He said, are you ready to actually work the program the way it's laid out? I went, yeah. Trying to convince myself that I was ready to work this program the way it was laid out. Back in, and that was 17 years ago, and I've had, I've had downs and plateaus since then. I came in, as I, when I came back, and this is, I picked him, I was supposed to find aid, and, you know, I had watched him change from angry, aggressive, assertive, individual who took the time to listen. Inside, I needed that. I wanted that. As I started to work with him, well, you need to go, and it was a unique, go to meetings. Week, get to meetings. Right. Live this program the way it's like. Then we had the first edition, 12, that's in print. Stop working with that. I lost weight in this range. I had a good inventories constantly. Yeah, you do dailies, you just do inventories. Sometimes he would say, go stand in front of your boat. But he also learned, and I learned, I have hair on the back of my neck, stands up, comes to full attention, raises his thumb and its right middle finger, and screams in unison, the phrase we all know. So he learned, he knew that I had to be head to the water. So I get to this point, and why am I still angry? I'm still filled with rage. I still live the steps and traditions. What I miss? I'm also lazy. I'm also lazy. Okay, I missed something in here because the 12th step says, I've had a spiritual awakening. When I do read the big book, it gives me the 9-step promises and all these wonderful things are there, and none of them are present. I go up and I say, all right, well, I missed something. I'm lazy. I'm not going to go back to the top and work my way down. I'm going to go from the bottom and work my way back up. Well, after a month or two, I get back. And I found my problem. This is my club. 12-step and 12-tradition book. If you haven't read it, read it. I'm not very humble about this. This is the finest piece of literature. It addresses our issues, problems specifically. I get all the way back to step two. And I'm reading. By little. This is page 12. Little by little, we saw how much pain our way of living was causing us. Gradually, we came to believe we needed to change all of life, as well as with the very irrational, unbalanced, and insane. Our indetermination couldn't change our unsuccessful way of living. If we were to be restored to this point, most of us had trouble for one reason or another with step two. Some of us did not believe in God. My paraphrase, some of us believed that God was a cruel, evil jokester who watched you when you made a mistake, he punished you. In despair of finding a solution to our problem, if that meant we had to find. When we heard that three-letter word mentioned and didn't return until it says, I'm skipping a couple of sentences. It doesn't tell us we have only that a power greater than ourselves could restore us. We're invited to define that power however we wish and relate it in whatever way it suggests. Into spiritual growth. And she specifically got to this point, and I read it. Realized that at that point, I did the awareness. I was still living with my anger. So I then began the process of redefining. Glass wasn't just half full on the bottom. It was leaking, and they just shut my water off because I didn't pay the bill. My philosophy was, I was a pessimist beyond pessimist to find a way out of that. And so I kept looking at the people in these rooms. This is a WE program. You people saved my life. This is simple. This program, you people, saved my life. Looking at the people who were positive, who had a great attitude, and listen, they do. And the thing I'm hearing over and over again was gratitude. They were grateful. And Oh, I was encouraged to write 3 gratitudes in the morning when I got up, with the theory being that by writing the things I was grateful for, I would put myself into the right of the day and maybe I could get off. Over the course of time, this has grown. It was suggested that I find 3 things to write a grateful for in my 10th step for that day. My morning gratitude, the big picture gratitude. Now, I'm grateful. But I'm going to redefine this higher power third thing again. I didn't I know about my higher power today. I don't trust. I needed to find that place where I could find or I could trust. And this a few things. I was in my anger. I described it as a lava flow. Know when it was going to blow. With gratitude, perfectly. Doesn't go the way I want it to go necessarily. But it walked in here. I sat out there before this meeting and I said, God, you got to come in with me because I'm nervous. And I am a person. This is not my, know how I'm coming across, but I'm telling you, this is not me. I'm a person who in high school took an F for a full quarter of English because I could not, would not stand up in front of a room and give a 2-minute oral report. When I stand here and I might look calm and I might sound calm, I tell you my blood pressure, which is normally, is right now probably about 140 over 80. My pulse rate, which is normally around 56, is probably around 80. And I'm beginning to perspire. Not my forte. I am in trouble. I step back. Peace in this world. You want to close with, I guess, that's a book. Wonderful book. Because last, page 15 in the book, the last, there are all of us coming to believe with something that happened as we began taking actions. Others told us had worked for him. Action and saw it work. We tried other suggestions, and our lives began to be trained. Willingness to act on faith then was the key to step 2. And this was the thing. In our unbalanced lives, we responded to the loving actions and working the steps. The result, new faith in ourselves, in others, and in the power of a relationship with a power greater than ourselves. And we were ready to move ahead with that. So when I got to that point, none of that other stuff that I had been promised had come true. I didn't dream that this is where I would be today. Live angry and live mistrusting the world. I have my personal history. I have reasons not to trust people in this world. They were legitimate. And convention is based on carry the message of recovery to those who still suffer. The whole convention this year has been about so grateful to have been a small part of it. With 3 or 4 times now. It didn't save my spiritual life. I didn't have one. It gave me one. I have a higher power today. I have a God today. I find myself in the church of my youth, but it's not the church of my youth. Collector. Right? If you had told me, I would have said, you are so nuts. You can't even talk about this. This has given me a life. My relationship with my family is being restored. My relationship with I have friends today. Not friends singular hostage holder. I have friends today. I have friends who, if I call them up and say, hey, patient.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Margaret Ann. I'm a compulsive overeater. I used to eat, and I came into Overeaters Anonymous in February of 1990. And 15 pounds of chain smoking suicide. I didn't bring my pictures with me today, but a lot of stuff like my old mom. Oh, my, sorry about that. 6 pins, but this convention is very important to me because it was the Waterville Valley Convention in 1991. That was the first one I ever went to, and I'm not going to say that's where I found God or anything like that, but I just remember being in the presence of an overwhelming number of people who had what I wanted. And that's one of the reasons why I continue to be a convention junkie. Did write out some notes, just that, and also the number of citations from the 08, 12, and 12. That book, it's not just the greatest book that OA ever developed. It is, to my mind, and I read a lot of step literature, our writing on the 12 steps, because every time I read it, they've added a paragraph or two. Maybe. I don't know how they do that. It just like shows up in my book, and it's a paper book, you know, but right now I have my cell phone. So of course I made a lot of notes, none of which I'm going to be able to incorporate because I'm going to run out of time. But, you know, there's that word spirit, which can be very confusing, off-putting, whatever, when we come in. And one definition that I found was the non-corporeal essence of all living beings. And A, we know what it's like to be in good spirits or poor spirits. You know, you could also call it a mood. But when I say that I came in as 215 pounds of chain-smoking suicidal son, I am not kidding. I didn't want to live when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, but I didn't have the level of resolve to kill myself. I was already sober in another program, so my recovery had begun. But as I heard someone say, when I put down the drug, there's a race that starts, and either the drug or the steps is going to get to me. But it's really my it's my journey to find out which one. So far, it's been the steps. The whole concept, has anybody ever had the experience of you stare at somebody and then they turn, or you just sense that someone's looking at you? And it may be a manifestation. I used to amuse my niece in airports when we had to wait. Like her mom could be standing out on the sidewalk. You would just stare at them until they turned around. Just, you know, work even through the glass. I think one of the reasons that I was looking for some other ways of expressing or higher power or God or whatever you want to call it is I have been in OA for, you know, and as I heard somebody say once, I have fewer beliefs and more faith than ever. I can call myself agnostic. I can call myself non-theistic. I wouldn't call myself... Often I think what I talk about God is probably not what most people are talking about. I found it here because I found a source of power that works always. I hope to talk a little bit about my experience. Like, if, you know, I told you how I came in after years of dieting up and down. Very typical. Came in with a feeling about dad or whatever it was as kind of a hobby. You could do it or not. You know, I liked majesty. I liked, you know, church music and stuff like that. It was a very good Christian church. And what I was told was, let it all go. And the main reason is whatever concept you've had hasn't worked. And, you know, when I saw the title of this workshop, right away, something kind of clicked. It was like, how to find a higher power that works for you, as opposed to works for you. And we're told, you know, in parts of the literature, it talks about God as a parent, God as an employer. And this is like, well, no, what about God as my concierge? And I think that's kind of an important thing, because my journey has been something that I can call upon, source of power. So think about this. This is the image I have of myself. I was a person who was trying to figure out how I could push a heavy weight down. I'll do that for you. Does anybody know about it? Yeah, it's called gravity. Or I was trying to figure out how to force a light bulb to create illumination. I'll do that for you. The force that will do for me all the things that I cannot do for myself. The way I think about it is that I was living my life in like a tiny foyer of a huge mansion because I did not understand my own true nature. My true nature and the nature of this whatever be separated. That's the power that where I first encountered it, thanks to my first meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Because you did something. Now, in the other program, you know, the same thing had kind of happened, and I had been relieved, like, whoop, lifted out of me. That addiction had been lifted out of me at the first meeting. That wasn't my experience of Overeaters Anonymous. I hated OA meetings.
Hated them.
B, what I kept seeing was people, you know, passing around pictures, and I saw a variety of different shapes and sizes, but I was hearing people get up at the front and say, I've been relieved of 200 pounds and 150 pounds. I've gained 30 pounds. And what they said was, you know, I ate 3 weight-measured meals a day, no flour, no sugar, and I love my food. And,
oh, my God,
I resented them so much because they were describing something that I was never, ever, ever going to. The thing that kept me coming back was they all described something about my essential truth that no one had ever articulated it. I had been in the diet club. I'd done good protein diet. And I just heard people like myself, probably, maybe they weren't all compulsive overeaters, but some of them were. They just lied, as I had, about how this time was going to be different. And this week I had done this, and I was going to do that. And then they would say, well, here's this thing that you can have, you can have a half a cup of this or, three of these. And I would spend my allotment of it, into the next decade at night. I remember seeing, data that diets simply didn't work. People lost weight, but they always put it back on. That was what I was coming from. So I did not have a power that would work for me. And when I came into OA, I started hearing people actually describe who it was. Every time I lost the weight, it stayed off as long as the camera took click picture. And then 3 pounds came back with a few of it. People looked at me after I put all the weight back on, and I could see in their eyes, what happened? I couldn't tell them. We would all just pretend that person wasn't there anymore. But when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, it was, really a lot of the work was done for me because here were people, knew what my problem was, and they had a solution. There was no question. They were not lying to me, and they didn't want my money. They didn't want my money. They didn't sign me up. No salesman will call. Kept me coming back right there. I just knew, and I continued to eat and I continued to lose weight, and they smiled and hugged me every single time, regardless. So I talked about my journey as going from a hobbyist to today. I would call myself a disciple in the sense of discipline, following a teacher, yes. I do believe there is a source of power and strength and guidance. It is not me in my little foyer trying to figure stuff out because my solutions. So anyway, how did I work the actual OA program to get there? Well, one of the first suggestions I was given was this idea of asking for help in the morning. And I should say that it was around this time of year that I was really skidding to my final bottom. It was actually Halloween of 1990 that I had probably the smallest binge I'd ever have in my life, but the most soul-crushing. It was shortly after that I said, whatever is out there, I cannot live past to stop. Sometime around November 15th, somehow, the compulsive eating. And one of the first suggestions I got was, when you go to bed at night, get on your knees and say thank you for a day of abstinence. And while you're there, drop your keys under the bed. And the next morning, when you have to get down there to pick them up, ask for a day of abstinence. And that, that's the whole acting as if thing. I just started taking those pictures. That was really all that it took. There was no question in my life that this was a place, a power greater than myself, and that's all I needed. So in the years since then, I have, I was told, maybe you're going to return to your faith community that you were raised in, maybe not. And for a while, I dabbled here and there. I did find a practice that, and it's non-theistic, but it worked me. That enables me to lean into 10, 11, 12, because in, kind of broader look, cultivating a calm mind, meditation. And, the main thing was that when I came in, here's the question, the way it's phrased in the book, do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? That's in the book, in the chapter, We Agnostics. It goes on to use a lot of language that for many of us is like, this is not really actually non-theistic, This is not actually as broad and roomy as you might think it is, Bill. The thing is, it does say the essential truth. The realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive to all who honestly seek. And that is the crux. Who honestly seek. Ed, you did the last two paragraphs of step two is about that. As soon as we became willing to do what other people were doing, regardless of why, and when you're in that much pain, it helps to motivate, then we will start to see results. And they can, they can be kind of subtle. How am I doing? Dang, almost 7 minutes. So I did make copious notes that I then interrupted for myself with a lot of other little... I was talking about, anyway, coming into meetings and immediately feeling that willingness, a sense of power, that real sense of there's something here that... Well, I guess I'm winging it now because I have this fancy little electronic device that you can write on, and supposedly you can scroll in it. Dang, it's scrolling. But the thing that was at the bottom of that page, and then I'll wing it from there, was... The important thing, oh, there you go. The important thing is not what that higher power is, but how am I going to seek it? The important thing is that I ask. The important thing is that I ask. Especially in the big book, in 11, the word ask, inquire, pray is repeated over and over and over. And today, that is really the crucial thing. Is as soon as I become willing, or as soon as I become aware that I'm having one of those days where I keep trying to exert my will, I can stop. The timer on my phone that goes off every hour and it says be still and know most of the time, but if I can stop at that moment, thank you, and just ask. It could be the question, what would you have me do? I don't know who you is, but it's the idea of turning outside from this mind that's always trying to figure it out. Now the thing is, if my motivation in asking the question is, how can I manipulate this person into doing what I want them to do, chances are I'm going to start getting some of those answers because that's the mindset I got going. The 12 steps, you know, after getting into that place of willingness that I need to be in, is to take a really good hard look at the way my mind works. I have to admit that to another person. I have to amend some of those behaviors. I have to, you know, set right what I set wrong and then not, you know, hopefully, humbly ask not to keep doing that stuff. Then my thinking will be placed on, you know, in the realm of inspiration or something. And so the answer to what would you have me do is much more likely to be, you know, on the plane of inspiration. As step two, I love the fact that it says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could bring us to sanity. It's just opening myself to the possibility. And step three, you know, there it is, what to do. I still think that this fellowship is as essential a higher power, as substantial a manifestation of that higher power as I'm fine. And now I'm going to read from the OA 12 and 12 Big Book. But this is... beautiful. I think this is the best articulation of my idea of what higher power is in our literature. It's in step 11. We began attending OA meetings. Most of us were attracted by the unconditional acceptance we experienced here. That's what I experienced. I was very fortunate. Nobody, you know, grabbed me and tried to force a plan of eating on me. Nobody really tried to force me to do anything. They shared. Life-changing acceptance has continued to sustain us as we've worked the steps and faced the changes that have come about in our lives as a result. Now, as we encounter step 11, we are challenged to seek out more direct conscious contact with the ultimate source of that life-changing love. Life-changing love. We create this fellowship. Do it hands-on, with skin. As somebody said, God with skin on. You heard that name, the God. And the God with skin on. And that's what we are to each other. We are the manifestation of that higher power. And we do it imperfectly, but collectively are there for each other. And that's how we, you know, I think it was said by an earlier speaker, the steps, oh, you said, steps change me, but the fellowship supports me. And the way it supports me is, first, meeting. You know, in my meetings, I hear every different point of view. And I hear about the actual results of people who do this. The tools are all spiritual. You know, sponsorship is all about asking and it's all about getting out of myself. Literature is all written with our voices. So it's our collective, you know, it's that source there in writing. The anonymity, the fact that 1 minute left, that anybody could be the voice of my higher power in any moment. And chances are, if you're pissing me off, Ding, ding, ding. That's a signal. I need to listen extra carefully. The plan of eating, I remember a dear friend used to say, some days the most spiritual thing I do all day is draw my knife across the cup, across the yogurt cup, which I don't do, but you get the idea, and I do weigh and measure and stuff like that. And service, the opposite of, I don't know if you've ever heard that, service connects me to other people, and especially, again, it's not, chances are, you are teaching me something about myself, but you are the voice of my higher power, and together, you know, the way we do service ensures that that ultimate source of life-changing love is being expressed in actions that we take together. But back to the big back, I'm out of time. We found the great reality deep down within. I love to share my program with people who come in and say, God said just, you know, they can't stick it, because what I will share with them is that thing that I'm going to hear from someone who works for them. So with that, I want to thank you all for my life, because there's nothing in my life good today that is not a direct result of working this program of recovery. Bless you. Thank you.
For the record, this workshop ends at 11:58, more or less, noontime. For the rest of this time, we're open to hear 3-minute pitches from the floor. Our timer is right in front of you. And if those of you who wish to share would please come up and form a line over here, and you'll be given 3 minutes. We do remind you the session is being recorded. Your sharing demonstrates recorded. If you wish to remain anonymous, please use the fictitious not to share where you are from and how long you have been in OA. Your sharing, please, to your OA experience, topic of this workshop.
Compulsive eater, or as I like to say, I'm Stevie, an OA man. Don't eat from a garbage can. Surrender my will in, measure my fill. I'm Stevie, an OA man. So, I am an atheist and an agnostic. I won't go into the details, but in COVID, at some point, I had this realization. A lot of my understanding is internal. I was born with my brain when I'm in fit spiritual condition that's free of fear, doubt, and there is this concept of the root of -1. And you go, what the hell is an imaginary number? Well, it's not a real number. You can't count it. It's what the hell uses it? Well, we use a GPS. Matrix behind some old fast Fourier analysis uses imaginary things solved. So for me, that was of the God rooms, I don't have a problem with God outside of the room. I am a flaming atheist, but I'm not an asshole, which I used to be. And because of my personal life circumstances, I've learned more about people believe. And that's it. I'm not sure if I'm grateful to be here or not. It was a very long drive, and I'm getting kind of hungry. So I'll pass. Thank you. Thank you.
Happy to be here today. I flew in from Hollywood, Florida. I wanted to share because I grew up with a punishing God, a concept of a punishing God, which got there. And for me, it's recognizing that I have had forked right move. Maybe I talked to a bunch of people about it. Maybe I found it. I feel flat. And lo and behold, that next moment or somewhere along the line came to me. Aha, happened. Before, and then all of a sudden, that's a higher power at work. It's never a loud clanking, hit you over the head, whack. But it's a whisper, not super exciting, or it just kind of is. And yeah, so for me, that inked it could be, ooh, don't walk down that street, it hairs on the back of the head. That was me choosing that, all of the sudden it was there. In my bones, it wasn't the right thing. It was, this person isn't safe for me, right? Or this feels off, right? That it's intuitive that I didn't choose that. I can't deny that I've had those experiences. For me, this is, I don't believe in a punishing God. I believe in this big, ethereal, haloed being. Listening piece, it's the asking that was this whole next.
I'm a compulsive reader. I'm going to tell you about my morning. So, into Nebraska, which is what Bruce Springsteen, that's music just to, well, it's an instant depression thing. And I got 3 songs in, I'm like, I'm ready to jump out the window. Oh, open up the window, I'm not jumping. Open the window, and it's a beautiful sunny day. The sun's rising. And I got this in my head that says, concert you went to like 2 months ago with your son, and the artist's name is Little Yachty. It's the first time Little Yachty is about to be quoted in millions. So I'm listening to this song, and I'm blessed. Called Me Solve the Sun, and he quotes, he's and right now I'm listening, look at the lyrics, I'm like, hey, bear with me for 30 seconds while I quote his lyric. Your imagination run wild, let your heart be your guide. And you sit around worrying about it and trying to plan a painting, you pleaded a painting already. Let it happen, and I would spend some little sketches and stuff. Then I'll go back and spend maybe a month or if we let it happen, it's out here. It's in you, and you put it on the canvas, K, and that's C. Watch the Bruce Springsteen pic. and I'm grateful for my son to turn me on to a little bit too old for. And so I got one left, and I'll tell you a little bit about that, God coming in. I lost my job in April. My son really wanted these concert tickets, and maybe we'll go. And along to... I saw the look in his face, and I saw joy. 15-year-old boy. Thank you.
Thank you.
A compulsive overeater from Montreal. Thank you. It's wonderful. I remember coming into it, but I couldn't get it. And then I was in God thing. I don't work, won't work. Is there anything else? Finally, having conceded to my innermost self, eating me all the time, hijacking me, eat against my will, half an hour. I was like a drive-by prayer. Half an hour, like that. I said, listen, so the God that I grew up with, I inherited from my, and then you get good stuff, and you don't merit it. But I was also like the punishing God, being a bottle God, or the Santa Claus, you know, so... Again, it's a good book, and it talks about where and how am I to get this power. Well, it's down deep inside me. What this power does, I need to be in a consciousness of God. I move the fear. Where would you have me be today? Who would you be? That presence of more than 1 or 2 days without. With God. And there's God. I want to carry this message that for anyone, we are here today. God brought us here. So you have God already. So,
carry.
Hi, Janet. I first came into OA a long time, so it didn't stop me from eating. As was said, about God, as understood, I didn't have a sense of a higher power that I could turn, restore me to sanity. And the only thing that could give me that experience, take that act in faith and say, okay. And as that experience built up over time, I realized was it mattered less what I believe God, and mattered was that I believe. And what's even better about that is that now oftentimes when I wake up in the morning, wake up thinking that that I'm the one that, and so I sit down to pray, right relationship with the God of my understanding. And the set-aside, help me to forget everything I know about you. Everything I know. And what's even amazing is that when I do that, I'm your experiences of faith about God and how that has inked in your life. And I can let it.
Ms. Quinn, I'm a compulsive overeater.
Apparently
very loud. I have found that semantics are very important in OA. We really want to dissect all words. And I wanted to share some things that I heard today in the conference already convention. I had never heard that God could stand for great outdoors. I hate the outdoors. So I've also heard good orderly direction. I heard that today. And I have in the past heard gift of desperation. I wanted to share some of what I had learned. And I, strangely, grew up with absolutely no specific religion and definitely wanted one. I went to the Buddhist temple. I went to Jewish temple. I went to every form of Christianity there was, if you count Catholic as Christian, and that was the whole thing. And, you know, and it never, I couldn't find anything that would stick. And so I was brought to these rooms, and I was told, or recommended, I just, they told me to do. I was ready to just say, somebody, what I'm doing is not working, just tell me what I need to do, and I'll actually do it. And then they said, find a power greater than yourself. And I go, oh, all right, well, I'm looking for that a very, very long time. And it came to me very simply. I have a very, very simple program. I try not to dissect all the words. Although I will say that e to the I pi power is equal to negative one, so the square root of e to the I pi power also would be the, had to put that out there. For those of you that like to live in the, you know, rational world. So whatever it is that keeps the earth on its axis, whatever keeps the sun, somebody talked about the sun rising, whatever that is, I don't need to understand the magnetism or the gravity or any of that. I don't need to understand that. And that's hard for those of us who are know-it-alls and have to know that all these, you know, we have to know the answers. That's my form of perfectionism. And my higher power doesn't have, and in Dutch, I don't know how you pronounce it. It's like Aïdism. And what it basically means is somethingers. We believe in something is out there. We just don't know exactly what that is. And that's okay. I'll finish with, they say that just because, let me say it right. I don't believe in God doesn't mean that God doesn't believe in me. So I'll leave you with that. Thanks so much.
Well, come here, Jason. I'm taking leader's liberty. There's no meeting after this. We're going to lunch. You've got 2 minutes.
Holy cow. The guy who's keeping a room of overeaters from eating. I'll just be really brief. I mean, really what I wanted to share was, you know, I'm pretty new to the program. I just started, and so, you know, I worked my way through step one, two, and three, and I found it easier than I expected, honestly. My dad is a devout Catholic and a very good man, and my mom was a devout atheist, a good woman. But, you know, I was raised, you know, in this sort of my custody switched back and forth here. So so I was raised in two really different sort of philosophies. And from my perspective, you know, I'm not an atheist or a non-theist or really anything. I don't spend any time really in the sort of God of Abraham or Dionysus or Krishna or anybody else. It's just not in my world. And so, but what I've found, in my sort of journey through the program so far is that, you know, I'm a musician, and what I do know is if I just take a step back, and I'm thrilled to see that this sort of aligns with the program, which is, take a step back, turn it over, and, you know, it's the same place that lyrics or music come from, which is like, I didn't write that, you know, it just kind of came to me and I wrote it down. And I'm finding now that if I wake up and ask for help with my overeating, which I had no idea they were going to be connected, you know, again, who knows where it comes from, but guidance shows up. And as I sort of make my way through the program, I find more guidance shows up the more I turn it over. So so that's that I experienced so far. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Okay, I really want to thank everyone for being here today. This has been wonderful. I'm glad you. That's all the time we have for sharing. Because thanks for attending the workshop. It sounds so dry. We will close with the Serenity Prayer. I mean, the Serenity. To accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Guys, have a great rest of the convention. See you all later. Enjoy. And thank you all for being here.